This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
This is Make It Plain, in person, live on WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica Radio in Washington, D.C., and wherever you are listening online and what have you. I alluded to our next guest and what we need to talk about. You know, we're watching ICE, we're watching all these immigration raids, and the popular media coverage restricts that to one group of people. But that does not exclude those of us who are diasporic African people, some of whom, some of us who even are citizens in America, being snatched up, being deported. We are happy to have with us now to talk about this. And it is a very, very important conversation that we must have if we are going to be about justice and freedom for all of our people. She is the executive director of the Black Alliance for Just Immigration. Nana Jamfi joins us now. Dear Nana, thank you for being here. Madasi.
Ndasi. I'm happy to be here. Honored to be here. Thank you so very much for having me. It is an important conversation. We got to get our people ready.
I want to start this way, though. So this keeps coming up. TPS, temporary protective status for Haitians. Where are we on that? Did Trump stopped it? And has it been re-extended? Where are we on that for the Haitian people?
So where we are is that at this point, TPS for Haitians ends February 3rd of 2026. So it ends in a little bit over 6 months, let's say about 6 months. What had happened, and that's when it was going to end. Normally when temporary protective status is granted, it's granted for a period of anywhere between a year and 18 months. And 2 months before it's over, there's a reevaluation that's required by law to say, has the conditions of the country changed? You and I know that conditions of the country have gotten worse. Like, yes, the answer is they have changed, but for the worse, not for the better. And so in such a situation, TPS for Haitians should be extended. Instead, ahead of the 60 days, which would have been in November, right? Way ahead of the 60 days, this regime decided that it would end TPS early for Haitians and end it in August. So up until a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at an August end date, meaning that it would typically be completely done by September 3rd of this year. And you have people that have lived here, you know, for at least a decade who are now going to become undocumented and thereby really subject to all of the enforcement that we have seen and disappearing and everything else that we've seen. A court said, no, you don't have the authority to stop anything early, but it has not been extended. And so as of now, TPS for Haitians will end February 3rd of next year for over 500,000 Haitians in this country.
Any hopes of having it renewed, especially based upon what we know is happening there? And we've been down this road before many, many times, and then we're able to push to get it extended. I know we're dealing with a different type of government that has this fascist obsession with exportation. But what does BAJI think about this, and what's the strategy, if any, to try to get it extended beyond February?
So, you know, BAJI has been working with respect to Haitian TPS on some level, especially since the earthquake happened in 2010. There are other organizations like Haitian Women for Haitian Refugees right in Brooklyn, New York, that have been doing stuff really on the ground. And in the conversations that I've had with Nanaj Raoul, who's the executive director there, you know, the conversation's been about two-prong attack. One is to continue to attack in the courts. The case is not over. The decisions that just were made by the judge are temporary decisions. while the judge considers whether or not, for real, this termination should happen. And so we're hoping, based upon the conditions, that the judge will determine that no, they shouldn't terminate Haitian TPS, and you know that there's no basis for it. However, we also know that this administration, this regime, doesn't care. It is grabbing up asylum seekers who are going to court like they're supposed to, people getting check-ins like they're supposed to, U.S. citizens that are in the street. And so the real protection is going to be the people as usual, preparing our folks, looking out for our neighbors, people who have TPS, preparing themselves and their family members in case they are taken. It's going to have to, this is the Fugitive Slave Act moment, right? Where it's like, you understand that that pass doesn't help you anymore. We can be snatched, dragged back to the plantation at any time, in terms of, you know, detention and deportation. And we understand that. And so we've got to act accordingly.
Wow. Okay. Nana Giamfi with us, folks. Black Alliance for Just Immigration, 202-588-0893. Your questions or comments. How many of you have been affected by some of these deportations, not just Haitians, which the status is about to expire in February, but let's talk about others. We've actually had people of African ancestry who are citizens born in this country, like you and me, and yet targeted for deportation, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's various ways that targeting has happened. Right now, some of the people may have heard that this administration is talking about denaturalizing people. What people may not know is that that was already happening under Trump 1. We tried to get that office eliminated under President Biden. That did not happen. And so it's ramped back up again. And one of the chief targets for that denaturalization office was Black immigrants, particularly from West Africa, and for some reason, Trinidad. They are places that they were really focused on. And so you see people, were concerned about that process and that being ramped up. You also find people who are U.S. citizens like Jermaine Thomas, who was born on a military base in Germany to a naturalized U.S. citizen father who was in the U.S. military, and was born in a military hospital, U.S. military hospital, lived in the United States almost all his life. He has been deported to Jamaica. Basically, the United States has decided as regime that, yeah, you're not a U.S. citizen. We don't care if you were born on a U.S. base to a U.S. parent who was in the military. And he's stuck there, a country he's never been to, stateless, won't be taken by Jamaica, not being taken by Germany, just in limbo. And many others, right, that have found themselves somehow having their citizenship redefined such that they are being disappeared. And I use the word disappeared because deportation means you've had a hearing. None of these people have had a hearing. There's no due process. They've just been grabbed and disappeared into other countries, disappeared into concentration camps right here in the United States. And more of that is on the way.
Yeah, that's very scary. No hearing. So in a case like this gentleman, what recourse, if any, is there right now?
Well, he is appealing. He obviously to the United States and has people here that are trying to work on that. So far, you know, there has been no movement on that. Jamaica, he's applying for Jamaican citizenship, but he's applying to Jamaican citizenship as a stateless person. Like the Jamaicans are not saying you are Jamaican because he normally would not be Jamaican, right? And so that's where he is at this point. He's not trying to be a citizen of Germany, and Germany's already said he's not a citizen there. And he is in a very difficult predicament. And when I think about this regime and this president saying that he's going to send homegrowns, quote unquote, and we know who they are, outside of this country and disappear people that have so-called criminal records, I think to myself, how many more thousands of people, particularly African-Americans, are going to find themselves in countries they've never been to, that they have no connection to, and told that, hey, under the 13th Amendment, you don't really have rights, right? Because you've been duly convicted of a crime. So deal with it.
It's really, now that we're talking about it, it's to me somewhat reminiscent of what was going on during and after the Civil War, and the American Colonization Society was like, okay, we send y'all, everybody back to Africa. And Frederick Douglass said, well, okay, but we haven't lived in Africa for centuries, you know, so what is that about? It's kind of sounds to me kind of the same thing. And Lincoln supported that at one time. We go back in enslavement and send everybody back to Africa. That was kind of his deal too. The gentleman in Germany who is now in Jamaica, okay, Jermaine Thomas. We need to help people understand this. He's basically the same as John McCain, right?
Right.
John, explain that. How it's a double standard.
So John McCain, who, you know, maybe some folks listening might not be that, they might be too young to remember John McCain. John McCain is a white man, former senator of Arizona, from Arizona. He was born in Panama,
right,
in a military base to U.S. parents, right?
Panama Canal Zone, right?
Right. And this came up, if you recall, because when they were trying to declare that candidate Barack Obama, I guess his friends at the time, that he was not, not from the United States because he was born in Hawaii, which is clearly a state, whether they want to be a state or not. People were like, hey, this John McCain dude, he wasn't even born within the United States at all. He was born in the Panama Canal Zone on a military base. And people were like, yes, but he is American because he was born on a base. Like, you know what I mean? They locked arms to make sure that we knew, yeah, he's in this Kenyan dude. We don't know what's going on with him. But this guy, he's American. He was born on a base. But here's Jermaine Thomas. He, too, was born on a base to a person who was a U.S. citizen. Right. And yet his really birthright citizenship has been totally questioned by a regime that is chipping away at birthright citizenship, which is the only way that African-Americans are citizens of this country. Period. It is through birthright citizenship. And so when that gets chipped away, we have to understand that that is not an attack on brown Latine people in and of itself. It is literally an attack at the heart of being able to be black and claim citizenship in this country.
Yeah, which strikes at what? The 14th Amendment.
Absolutely. Which strikes at humanity, because the 14th Amendment is the way in which the human rights, right, to due process, the human rights to be treated equally, these human right principles come into the United States in the Constitution through the 14th Amendment. So again, when you attack the 14th Amendment, whether you're attacking DEI, whether you're attacking affirmative action, or whether you're attacking birthright citizenship, you are attacking, you know, one of the Reconstruction Amendments that makes the difference between black people being enslaved or not.
Yeah. No, that's very, very important. Now, you mentioned, too, and by the way, just for the record, I don't remember John McCain. I wasn't born when John McCain was alive, but I have read about him. So I just wondered about, I don't want people to think I was around. So you mentioned targeted groups, Trinidadians and West Africans. Is that random or is there some nefarious reason behind those two?
Well, they're the test cases. And again, this is a targeting for denaturalization that we saw happening under the first Trump administration. And, you know, some of this should sound familiar. And so what was happening, what we were seeing is that people who had lived here for a long time often had businesses, particularly in areas that folks were trying to gentrify. This sounds ridiculous and like conspiracy theory. I'm telling you, this is what was happening. They were going and trying to get these folks who maybe they had purchased their building because they've been here for a long time, right? They're one of those businesses that are beloved in the community. And then when they couldn't buy their building, next thing you knew, they were getting notices coming from two different places. One, questioning marriages that they had been in and maybe since divorced, to American citizens. And they were getting notices from on the criminal side saying, hey, we think that your marriage was fraudulent, for example. And then also getting notices from immigration saying, from the criminal court saying, you've defrauded. And so between the immigration and the criminal court, you know, they were like caught up in these binds where they were fighting the criminal cases to try to say, no, I didn't commit fraud. You don't have to have a conviction in order to be attacked on the immigration side because that's supposed to be civil. And so their civil denaturalization process happened with that frontal criminal attack, right? And again, these are, think of Du Bois, how they grabbed his passport. Paul Robeson, how they grabbed his passport, right? Then, you know, let's think about, you know, Frank Williams, Frank and Mabel Williams. The use of the grabbing of passports, the holding over the head of U.S. citizenship, over the head of African Americans who speak out, African Americans who they thought were too powerful, etc., is not something new. So all of this is being brought to bear in this by this regime in the way that it is because it does everything right in the way that it does.
Nana Giamfi, folks, your calls 202-588-0893 here on Make It Plain, 202-588-0893. Not a lot of time left. Is any one of us safe? Can we say that? I mean, this could, I know some folks, when they see things like this, they still think, well, that'll never happen to me. But is it really safe for any of us? Can we have that attitude?
We cannot have that attitude. And I'm saying this both to African Americans and Black immigrants. You know, my parents came here from Ghana. I was born here. And so, but I basically, especially because of the time that I came up in the world of Black America, right? So, you know, you can tell by how I talk, all of that. Okay. And so I'm telling Black immigrants, look, I don't care if you were here 25 years. Some of these people we're looking at were here longer than 25 years. They're still being snatched up. And if they have kids, they're snatching you up with your U.S. citizen kids and saying, all of you can be detained. All of you can be disappeared. There's nothing about the U.S. children or the U.S. spouse or anything that is protecting you. And you've got to get clear about that. Mm-hmm. And then with African Americans, my colleagues, my comrades, my friends, I'm saying, hey, you've got to be, these folks are taking passports and tossing them to the ground. They're looking at real IDs and telling people, I don't know if that's real or not. And so how are you supposed to prove that your real ID is real? I mean, it's supposed to have all the stuff on it that says that if they're saying they don't know and you're being disappeared by masked men. We know those people are not ICE agents. People are being held in warehouses, calling on their phone from the warehouse. Hey, I don't know what this is, but it's not a detention prison. I'm in a warehouse somewhere. That is some like Criminal Minds type thing. And I'm saying that not to be alarmist, but to have people be clear, because we know African Americans should know better than others what it means to have masked men coming through neighborhoods, grabbing people with impunity and disappearing them. Yeah. This is what is the vision of this regime, and they're enacting it now and getting sharper and sharper at their capacity and normalizing it so that people think it's not their problem until it's too late.
202-588-0893. Are there, in the work that Baji is doing, Black Alliance for Just Immigration folks, and again, we want to encourage you to visit Baji's website, Baji, B-A-J-I, .org, to find out more information. Are there opportunities? Have there been? Can there be opportunities for solidarity with those other immigrants who are also being mistreated, most notably, obviously, those who are Spanish speaking and others for that matter? Is that something that you're looking at or working on?
Absolutely. I mean, there's already, thankfully, coalitions of organizations that Baji is a part of. You know, there's coalitions in the DMV area, in all of the places that where we are. Of course, all the major cities where we can be found, but even in the rural areas. And we do see folks coming together. Sometimes it means that there's got to be more conversation because we know that anti-Blackness is everywhere. You know, as I tell folks, anti-Black people, you got Black folks that are anti-Black, right? And so certainly we have people outside our communities, and that's a conversation that we obviously have to have. And while we're having that conversation, we still need to be on the battlefield together doing what needs to be done. It would be worse if we did not already have those coalitions, if you can imagine, but it would be worse. The work of these coalitions has actually helped to do some preparation. If you remember, Tal Holman had indicated that in Chicago, he was really upset because they couldn't get the numbers they wanted to get because people were doing all these Know Your Rights workshops. And as far as he was concerned, helping people to figure out how to get away from ICE. And you see the videos where you have people of different races hollering at people who are being detained by the masked men, saying, don't talk to them, you know, reminding people of their rights. Even that is a solidarity, because, of course, when you're being picked up, you're so scared. You might forget everything. And so having people remind you of your rights, et cetera, is really helpful. So, yes, we've seen the solidarity in the courts. We've seen the solidarity in the streets. We've seen the solidarity in the legislative houses, in the strategy rooms. But there needs to be more, and particularly amongst us as diasporic Black people, because the way in which we are being attacked and the way in which we will be attacked is going to be different, because it always is. And we have to be clear. We have to keep us safe. No other folks are going to do that for us, because they really don't actually understand our situation, right? The special situation that we have as Black people.
Yeah. No, that's real talk. For those who are listening, Nana Jamfi of BAJI.org, folks, for those who are listening who want to get involved, or who may consider themselves at risk, how do they get involved and what can they do right now to protect themselves?
So please reach out to us. You can reach us by email at together@baji.org, together@baji.org. We have a ecosystem meeting that's open to all Black folks who are concerned about this issue. If you are not Black, still hit us up, let us know, and we will circle back with you with our Until We're Free space to see how you can work with us. You can follow us at InstaBaji. You will find their links at InstaBaji's on Instagram, as well as our website. You'll find links to Know Your Rights cards in multiple languages that Black folks speak. You'll find information on emergency preparedness. You'll find information on ways that you can plug in to make sure that we can protect our communities and support our communities. Please do so. We've got, you know, very little time to get our folks really prepared for what's next.
Yeah.
Because once February hits, it's going to be a different game.
All right, let's get a couple quick calls in before we do run. Caller, God bless you. You're on the air with Nana Jamfi. What's your name, caller?
Hello?
Yes, hi. What's your name?
Hi, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the little ping that I usually hear. This is Julian Harris. I'm in Flagstaff, Arizona, listening to you all through Simple Radios app. How are you, Nana?
I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. I've been listening to you, Nana, since KPFK days. Your voice and your wisdom is profound, but I think on this issue we might differ slightly, and maybe more than slightly, perhaps, but I think it's just slight differences. The biggest concern that I have for the highly melanated community, and that's the best way I can answer it, because we're always trying to make ourselves something other than what people usually call us, is I think we need to start building coalitions amongst ourselves to protect ourselves and to prepare for whatever may come when the eyes of the oppressor are turned towards us again. We haven't ever been able to build true coalitions of unity and cooperation, because the key word, in my opinion, is cooperation amongst ourselves ever since we've been here. Everything has been thwarted. For the first time in a long time, in centuries, the powers that be, the real alphabet people, CIA, FBI, all of these other groups, they have someone else that they are concerned about. And if we could find the way to use this time to unify ourselves, to end the gender wars, to stop the murder culture in our music, the prostitution culture in our music, to just separate ourselves from the matrix that is set up to keep us on the bottom rung, and where everyone else who comes here is here solely to get closer to the oppression class and separate themselves from us, I bet when that time comes, when we are on the menu, we will be so strong and we will have such a unified and cooperative front that perhaps we won't be on the menu.
Let me get a quick response. Not a lot of time, Julian. Let me get a quick response. Nana, you want to respond?
Yeah, I would say that we're always on the menu and that we do lots of, we chew gum and walk at the same time. And so, well, of course, we have to do the work of building solidarity and building unity within a diasporic and even Pan-African way. And at the same time, we cannot be so driven by principle, I'm going to use that term, or driven by sort of a focus on ourselves that we lose our humanity.
Right.
As soon as we lose our humanity, we're in trouble. So when people say, well, we can't look at everyone else because we just have to look at ourselves. If that means we do so in a way that makes it so we can't hear the plaintive cries of others, then we're going in the wrong direction.
And Julian, let me just say, I'm short on time, Julian. I'm responding. We got to go. I think I agree with everything Nana said, and I don't think it's in contradiction to what you're saying. But what I think what you left out is we need to call out those in our community with the help of social media, paid and unpaid actors, who knock a diasporic approach and who knock and are against Pan-Africanism. See, we can't have what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. If social media is generating content and disinformation that says we're the only ones that matter because we're born here in this country. So I just want to keep that in mind. How much time I got? Could I have time for one more quick call? Caller, God bless you on there. What's your name? About 30 seconds, quickly.
Yeah, we don't have time.
No time? Okay, we're out of time. I'm sorry. BAJI.org. Insta on Instagram. Insta BAJI. Go there. Get involved. Nana Jamfi, Executive Director of Black Alliance for Just Immigration. You are incredible, wonderful. Thank you for sharing with us. And let's do what Julian said. Let's have unity. We can do it right now. We've had it before in history. We ain't starting from scratch. And we've been at war for a long time. We ain't starting from scratch. So we can get this done. Nana Madasi.
And that's it. Thank you so very much. Appreciate you. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
You do the same. Folks, it has been Made Plain.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.